Before we go into the sermon, I want to explain the small print that sometimes appears on the screen. It is not because we have chosen, ooh, this would be a good time to see if they can do an eye test. What we've discovered is that when that happens, there's some invisible character that has made it into our text, and you can't see that coming, so they have no idea up there that that's going to appear until it shows up on the screen. So we're trying to fix it. We've addressed it at staff meetings, but sometimes the words are so small you can barely tell there's anything up there. We're working on that. This morning I want to talk about part of the Christian life that at times we have lost, that we as in the Christ-following tradition. It used to be that the Jewish tradition was such where they never talked about individuals gaining salvation. They were blessed as tribe or family, and you can see it all kinds of ways in the Old Testament. They'll say stuff like, if the father agrees, if he believes, if he gets circumcised, then the whole family is in. Or the blessing comes on a nation. And there was a much different communal understanding of who we are together. Sometimes we now perceive, we Protestant Christians, that we're in this by ourselves, that we've got our job, our responsibilities to do, and if we'll take care of our stuff, we're all good. But remember, Jesus and then Paul referred to us as the body of Christ in our togetherness, not in our individualness. It turns out that during the Great Enlightenment period of the Renaissance and when the Protestant Reformation happened, we moved to become a little more individualistic in our understanding of our own personal faith lives, our salvation. And the consequence of that is that there are some now Christian traditions that, Protestant traditions, that will essentially say, if you'll say yes to Jesus and you'll say the sinner's prayer, then you're 99% of the way there. Whereas the richness of our full tradition is you get baptized on the way in the door, and then you've got a lifetime of serving to do. It's not a, good, I said yes, now I can coast into heaven. No, in our time of transformation, we're called to become a different, not just individual, but a different people together. And we do a lot of things because we can do it together. If you tried to feed every homeless person by yourself, how would you do? How many of you have done more than 5 meals to somebody that was homeless this year? I see about 8 people reluctantly trying to show me just a little bit of. But I want you to know that we've done better than that together. And so I actually have a spreadsheet over here that I can back up most of what I'm saying today. Sometimes I'm going to use phrases like more than, or at least as much as, or I'm guessing somewhere in this vicinity. Because to be quite honest, I don't know what the price of bread is that was put into the cart and how many loaves of bread was put into the cart. But 6 days out of 7 days a week, somebody from our congregation delivers the day-old bakery goods from Publix on Beachside and takes it either to HUM or to the Hot Meals program. To the tune of somewhere in the neighborhood of $110,000 worth of bread in the last 16 months. $110,000 worth of bread for an hour a day, 6 days a week, for 16 months. Did you know that you were doing that? We are doing that. I've not taken one load of bread. Martha's taken a few loads of bread. She said at one point she filled up the back seat all the way, the back window filled up, and the passenger side window in her vehicle filled to the brim so that she could get what and take it to the next place. Now, let me tell you that I'm hoping to motivate you, not make you go, oh, good, we're doing enough, I can sit back and relax. I realize there's a danger in telling you really positive things because you think that, oh, good, we can coast for a few weeks. Every time I say, man, our offering is great, the next few weeks I pay the price. These are only part of who we are together. But sometimes we don't realize how much of a difference we make and how much more of a difference we could make. There are visible parts of the Christian life. Part of it is not visible. I can't read your motivations. I can't tell you what your heart, where your soul is in relationship to God. Only you and God know that. I can ask you to read scripture and hope that makes a difference. I can preach the best I can and hope that makes a difference. But in the end, there's some of this that's not visible. One of the reasons we talk about the visible items and why the letter of James talks so much about put your love into action is because we're expected when we engage Jesus Christ to have a life that's changed. And it should be a life that's changed in a way that we can make visible. This is about us, not about I or you or me. We don't get to say that when we're talking about these numbers I'm going to celebrate today. And it's only part of the Christian experience. We become a Christ follower and we experience God's love. We learn more about God, about where we're wired to serve and how our church can make a difference. We learn about the needs in our community so we can bring our gifts to God's needs. And then we make the kingdom happen. When we take our gifts and the needs in our community, the scripture says we experience God. It's not to say God is the poor person that you fed. It is to say that in the act of feeding someone who isn't going to eat, that's God. That's God's love perfectly defined. And after we have marinated in our Christian faith enough, we become servants, and we go out and we serve in different ways and we make a difference. We are called to show God's love and not keep it to ourselves. We are blessed, and therefore we have the responsibility to be a blessing. Churches are blessed to be a blessing. We are called to give God's love away. And guess what? The next day, our tank is filled again, and we can love and hug and smile and be kind again another day. Blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. We love God, we love others, and we serve the world. Let me start by talking about the numbers that are on the table. The number 68 on the table is the number of Ocean View Chapel services our volunteers have had since July of 2015. There are about 24 volunteers who show up each Wednesday morning to do that, which means if you do the math, 68 services, 24 volunteers, that's a lot of service hours. I've already mentioned the carts of bread we pick up from the Publix bakery. We've had 936 carts of bread picked up from Publix Bakery and distributed through Community Hot Meals or Halifax Urban Ministries. A rough approximation of the bread value is $110,000, which means that when an individual serves in that way, that 1 hour that they serve God has an impact in our community of $237. How many of you get paid $237 to do your job? Don't raise your hand, because I'll come to your house and I'll ask for more money. If you do, see me later, because we can do some amazing things. $237 an hour for doing that volunteer service. Woohoo! Aren't you glad we do that? Did you know? I can do this all day. I had to pick and choose what I can talk about today, because I can do this all day. There are, on our table, we have 640 visits from congregational care visitors. Now, those may last 30 minutes. It may take 25 minutes to get from home to that person's house so they can sit and chat. 640 visits to people who can't come out or who are sick. It said, when you do this to the least of these, when you care for the sick, you're doing my work. 640 visits by congregational care workers. We have a 550 on there. 550 support group meetings in the hospitality house. 550 support group meetings. This is my best estimation. So that means if we have an average of 20 to 24 people each meeting, that means that the impact of us having a hospitality house and paying for the electricity, making sure the yard's cleaned up when we need to, has 11,000 people hours of contact. Imagine the difference in our community that over the last 16 months we've had given access so that 11,000, it may be more than that, people get to care for each other. They get to both serve folks who need to, that have unmet needs, and they get their unmet needs taken care of by being in accountable relationships in either AA or NA or Al-Anon. That is a beautiful thing. How many of you knew that we did 550 meetings? You're allowed to say yes, you know. Anyone else? Jonah, are you going to raise your hand on all these? She might be able to. The 3,240 are hot meals served by CCUMC. Every other week, Coronado Community sends volunteers, and those folks feed the hungry in our community. I have list and list and list. There was no way for me to figure out the value or the quantity of this number. We send at least one delivery van full of food collected. What unit of measurement is a van full of food? What's the value of a van full of food? I have no idea, but when you each month bring in food that goes to Halifax Urban Ministries, we've done a van full every month. The United Methodist Women, the Priscilla Circle, Weekend Bags for Food for Children, the Naomi, Dorcas, and Rebecca Circle, Clothing for Children at Chisholm Elementary, the Deborah Circle, Easter Baskets that go with Hum and Gifts for Love. The Day School provides toys and clothes for families in need at Christmas and provide food as necessary. I can't even start to talk about all the difference the boutique makes. 14% of our budget is provided by the boutique volunteers. Which means for every budgeted dollar, 14 cents of that dollar is provided by volunteers serving week in, week out, doing and having a great time, I must admit. If we close the boutique, the people who come and buy stuff are not near as upset as the people who were slated to see each other and hang out. Am I right? Amen. It makes a big difference. Emily said that the youth group sponsors 9 children throughout the year at the Pura Vida mission by youth families. That when we get the pumpkins, we do fair trade prices for the pumpkin crop to the Navajo tribe in New Mexico. The list goes on and on. Jack Travis tried to give me the best numbers he had. Our local affiliate of Habitat for Humanity builds 8 to 10 new houses each year. Each home needs about 1,000 hours of volunteer labor to compete. Of all the local churches in the area, CoreMeth has the most volunteer hours and contributes the most money to the program. Habitat also has a Brush with Kindness program to help existing homeowners maintain their homes, and they've done 5 homes in the past year. Disaster recovery, which we're still in the midst of. I'm sure these numbers don't include yesterday's adventure. Helped 21 families with debris cleanup, tarping roofs, removing small trees, and other tasks to help our community recover and make homes safe. As of Tuesday of last week, we had 229 volunteer hours since the hurricane. Poof. Safe seniors. Did you know we do safe seniors? That our missions program supports safe seniors. Safe seniors is essentially if somebody now needs a pull bar next to their toilet or next to their shower or something by the stairs, our people will go and install those kind of things. They were the first, Jack Travis and Gil were the first people to show up at our house when we moved into the community saying, all right, we do this all the time. What can we do for you all? We weren't safe seniors, but we accepted the hospitality. This year, year to date, 87 families. And last year, 130 families were served by safe seniors. He said that some projects can be as short as 5 minutes. Some may take several days. We donated over 500 backpacks to Saluti Paws. Over 300 pairs of shoes and socks. Had a fundraiser and replaced the septic system at Saluti Paws. We have a great history. One of the things that is very important to me is that we not double up and do things that are being done by other agencies. That we look and we research and we find out what ways can we serve the unmet needs. So if you've got homeowners insurance that's going to pay for something, we probably are going to say, have them take care of it. Because there are going to be some folks who don't have that. And that's the place where they're hungry or thirsty or sick, the least of these. We are blessed to be a blessing. We had a district mission-wide weekend where we put stuff in the from the Discovery Marine Discovery Center. Do you have any idea how many volunteers were at that? It was like 20, if I remember the pictures. People dressed up in our shirt. You've seen the shirt, right? You have a shirt? Please wear the shirt whenever you're doing nice things in the community. If you're not doing nice things in the community, you don't have to wear the shirt. We put this on the back of the boutique truck, and people have been asking, why do you say the church has left the building? I want you to be able to say why our church says the church has left the building. Our budget year over year this year is $1,120,000. Our budgeted missions, including some apportionments and some giving that we do locally, our budget for missions over the last 16 months has been about $66,000, which equates to 4.6%. of our income. That seems low. I'm not done yet. I'm not going to include yet the hours and the value of hours of service. But if I just include the endowment, we have an endowment, and our endowment makes scholarship for missions, scholarships for day school, scholarships for education. Over the course of the last 16 months, and it probably is more than this, it's in the neighborhood of $43,000, $44,000 that went directly to missions or education or day school scholarship, to the least of these. If I add in the extra mile giving, so stuff like when we send kids off to Haiti or Costa Rica, when we go to Air Guatemala, Saluda Paz, we do those kind of mission trips. When we take our Thanksgiving offering or our Christmas offering, or we do fundraisers that are specifically for missions and service. Ooh, my numbers don't even include the $28,000 that we raised for Saluti Paws at a recent fundraiser. So it's more than this. Our extra mile giving is almost, well, now with that I just thought of, is at least $225,000 in extra mile giving. Just adding the extra mile giving. And we begin to do amazing things. So I've got $66,000 from our budget and $45,000 from the endowment and $225,000 in extra mile giving. But if you take the 8,500 hours that I have been able to calculate here, and that does not include any boutique hours, because I'd only be able to grab 14%. And to be quite honest, figuring out how many hours people serve at the boutique would probably kill me. TG, do you know? Could you tell me in a month how many volunteer hours are in the boutique? 630 hours. All right, so let's just play simple math. That's each month. If we say that they're valued at $10 an hour, I can do that math in my head. There's $6,000 a month, right? But so that $6,000 a month added to the already $85,000 worth of value that I have here, and all of a sudden, our total impact is over $400,000 in the last 16 months. Over $400,000 worth of impact. And if you take all of the income we have and bring in and do a percent of what our income is that comes in, we give more than 20% of our income outward. So when we take offering, I'm serious. We're going to do the best we can with that. There are people who are fed because you give or you serve. We do this together. Without us, 2 weeks a month, half of the volunteers at the community hot meals would not be present. I think it's 11 different groups that meet in the hospitality house.
Currently, I think there's 16.
Currently, there are 16, so my numbers aren't any good at all. I like it when my numbers aren't good and it should be more. Let me tell you, the most valuable volunteer hour we have is probably the bread pickup, because they make 237. I did the math on foreign mission trips. Do you want to know? For about what we pay and about the impact we can do per hour, the value of our dollar is about 28 cents. It changes teenagers' lives and people's lives, and for the families that we affect, it made a great deal of impact. We know that the impact we have had in Air Guatemala is that 10 years later, 15 years later, that people have begun doing the same thing for their friends, and now whole communities are dealing with their environment different, and they are changing their economy, their own economy. Arlen Stauffer at our Tuesday night dinner this past week talked about the fact that in Guatemala, for the Salud de Paz folks get to see that babies are fine until they're taken off the breast. But between that time and when they can, hit school age and can go to school and get fed, From the time they're taken off the breast, so a new child comes along, to the time they go to school, they are severely malnourished that entire time. And it takes more than 6 months of feeding them correctly in order for them to regain the kind of life and health and thriving nature that comes from not having the food. We can make a big difference in our community. If folks give us more money, we are not going to use it so that we can have more gold in the room. We are not going to change things in a way that allow us to have exorbitant amount of staff. All of what we're aiming for is to get to the point where we can do more and more outward. We do a lot. And I wanted you to know that when you put on that t-shirt, it means something. I can't calculate all the other ways in which we've used that t-shirt and done good things around our community. But when that truck is driving around and somebody asks you, or you're wearing your t-shirt and somebody asks you, tell them about delivering bread, about a van load of food to help those folks who are just trying not to go homeless. you can trust that at the same time, the boutique is making sure that students who are getting ready to go on job interviews that are homeless, or the different area agencies that need a little support that have the kind of items that we have, when a child is going to age out of the children's home, the Florida United Methodist Children's Home near DeLand, when that moment is going to happen, they need to be able to have a spatula at their house. Well, sometimes the children's home calls us, and the boutique puts together what we have, and we deliver for those teenagers who are going from children's home to, oh my gosh, I'm on my own, some of those things that can make their life a little simpler, and they can use the resources they have on things that, like food. Does this help you understand who we are? We are blessed to be a blessing. Don't take it for granted that the boutique is going to always supply all our needs. You know, when they have to close for a few days, when we miss a Sunday morning of worship, and therefore that offering, the adjustments will get made the best we can. But you can count on the volunteers from this place. If you have a heart for something and you don't know where to serve, call Martha. Martha sits on the missions team. She knows what she can get you to do. And if someday you just want to be on call for bread, she's the one that makes those arrangements. She needs some people, and we need bus drivers. And what else did I want to make sure I said? If we just look at our budget, it's less than 4.5% goes outward. But if we look at all of what we do through extra mile giving and through sending kids to camp and sending kids to Guatemala or Costa Rica or Haiti, we make a huge difference. At least 20% of our income goes outward. We make sure we balance between local and regional and national and global kinds of needs so that when there's a hurricane that affects Haiti more than it affects New Smyrna Beach, we are blessed to be a blessing. And UMCOR will be there. We gave more this past year to special offerings in the United Methodist Church than we've ever done before. We have had a good year. There are simple ways for you to continue this. We put a board out. Where is the board?
Right out in the courtyard.
Right out in the courtyard. You're going to see we've got a go and do likewise board. Remember where that comes from in Scripture? Some of you don't remember. There's a story about a guy who gets robbed on the way to a place. And the priest and the Levite and other folks pass him by, but some Samaritan stops. Remember what I'm talking about now? He says, the lawyer says, who's my neighbor? And Jesus says, the guy who stopped and helped. And the last thing Jesus says in that story, the story of the Good Samaritan, is go and do likewise. Go and do likewise. So I invite you to stop at the board, which is on the way. There it is. In the courtyard, and look and see. Simple thing. Because simple things can make a huge difference. We have, at other churches, we've put bags together so that if somebody is by the side of the road and needs food, that you can hand them something they could eat right then and there. If you need help doing that, we'll make sure that happens. But there are small children in our community that eat because of this church. There are adults who haven't gone homeless because we've helped feed folks so that they didn't have to choose between rent or food. This church makes a big difference. The we, the us. So it's time for us to be a blessing, to go and do likewise and change the world on God's behalf. If you don't know what to do, call me. If you're making more than $237 an hour, call me. I want you to understand that it's critical for us as the church to leave the building. This church has made a great impact, and I want to thank you for sharing your blessings so that it blesses others, so that we meet unmet needs in our community and around the world. Let us pray. Gracious God, we love you. We hope that in small ways you can see the depth of that love. Let us bind ourselves together in a way that allows us to have the greatest impact, your impact, that we might build your kingdom here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.